Welcome, EJ.
Thanks for having me.
This you're, is awesome. You're Nick again, right?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, buddy.
Good to see you. If we're a little tired looking, it's the day after half-res. We got our iced coffees.
We had a half-res eve.
Oh my gosh.
That was pretty crazy, too.
Thanks for coming out, man.
Yes,
that was awesome.
That was fun. That was a good time.
So, what'd you think of last night?
It was crazy. I'm from D.C., so I fly into town specifically for... It's not even like we do tutorials or it's like NAB. It's just like, hey, we all love each other's work. We all are working hard so much. Like, let's pause and let's just hang out, grab some beers, and just have some fun.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I come here. The market here, like the community here is amazing. Thanks to you.
Oh, man.
And Chris and guys like that. But, you know, it's something to, you had people coming from New York City, from LA. So, I mean, that just kind of speaks to...
I met a guy from Algeria last night.
What?
And he, you know, well, came up to the stage and kind of was like, we watched all your stuff and I had to come thank you guys. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
And by the way, it's not because of me. It's because of the community. There's hundreds of people that showed up last night.
Oh, yeah.
That hung out and helped and it was amazing.
Yeah.
But I want to hear the EJ story.
Listen,
because I know you've been doing some tutorials for us as I bump in everything. You've been lately. You've been nailing all this sketch and tune stuff. What got you into all this like flat sketch and tune style lately?
It's something that it's always been a style. I mean, it's a hugely popular style now, and I finally joined Dribbble for a long time. I don't know if you go to Dribbble very much, but it's all amazingly talented illustrators and 2D guys and UI interface things, and it's just I've been doing sexy 3D shiny stuff so much that let me try this out and just kind of see what's available. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna learn Sketch and Tune, and after doing all these tutorials, everyone's like, oh, you know, I've never touched it before, because like even myself, you open up the Sketch and Tune options and you're like, what is all of this?
That's a lot.
And I feel like that just turns people off.
Yeah.
But you know, I just kind of forced myself to sit down, and there's not a lot of training on Sketch and Tune out there at all. So it was basically me just be like, what's that do? What's that do? Oh, cool. What's that do? And just kind of figuring it out that way. But then once I started doing it, just the freedom of, I'm so 100% comfortable in Cinema 4D. When I work in it so much that it's almost if I have to switch into After Effects, I have to like switch on a different part of my brain and like kind of change gears and like, yep. What? Oh, that short key is not the same. And this is how I've been since I've been using Cinema 4D. If I can do it in Cinema, I'm going to keep it in Cinema and then just do the bare minimum in After Effects, like whether that's just quick compositing and then just render it out and that's it. So opening up the world of 2D in an app that I'm way more experienced in, I don't know many of the effects and plugins in After Effects, like the puppet tool, and even animating in that in After Effects is pretty tough for me. And I just way prefer the timeline in Cinema 4D as well. And people argue back and forth over what's better curves and working
opposite.
With. Oh, really? Okay. I can't get the speed timeline in After Effects because there's really nothing like that in Cinema. They don't have a speed graph.
Well, that's kind of why we build Signal too.
Really?
Is
there you go.
At the After Effects timeline and the speed curve made sense to me and not really made sense. It's kind of like what you're it's whatever you're used to.
Right.
You're used
to
Cinemas. I was used to After Effects, and I never opened the Cinema timeline other than just really basic stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's get speed curves like in Cinema.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's where Signal is like, let's just get two keyframes and move them
right,
together.
Right. Exactly.
So you've been doing. Oh, that's been over a year now, all these Sketch and Tune things.
Yeah,
you came
it's
out
been
with the
over
Sketch
a year.
And Tune pack.
The model pack, yeah.
It's
just
awesome.
Kind of like stuff I've made that a lot of people have been like, oh, well, why don't you like share your files and stuff like that? And I put a ton of work into it, so it's not like, oh, I want to give it all away. There's so much work involved. But I've found that I've even talked to people at Half-Res that are like, I got your pack. I dug into it, and it's just so cool how to see, like, all of Beeple's stuff. If you just download his files, even if you're just, like, not interested in the style itself, but just seeing what he does as far as, like, workflow things or hierarchies or how he's grouping things, like, it's just people found value in that. So I've been doing the Sketch and Toon stuff for a while now, just exploring it and just really had a lot of fun with the fun part about Sketch and Toon is, like I said before, you're in 3D, you're in Cinema 4D, you're completely, like, that's my realm. And if I want to be a 2D animator or an illustrator, I turn on the Sketch and Toon button, bam, I just made something in 2D that's, like, flat illustrative, you know what I mean? So that's kind of, like, it unlocked the world of 2D for me. And in that way, I kind of, like, indirectly by posting stuff on Dribbble and just like, hey, this is what I've been doing. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I've actually gotten, like, all this client work from it. So I just finished up a gig for Microsoft that's not live yet, but I'm really excited. It was probably one of the most fun projects I've done in a while. I was just making, like, little 2D animated characters in Cinema 4D. But the best part about building 2D elements in 3D is you're like, all right, well, I built this character. What would this character look like if I turned him slightly to the left? Or I angled it like isometric view. And you just have that full freedom.
Without having to redraw
it. Yeah, you don't have to redraw it. Like, to get that sense of depth in After Effects, you would have to, like, for a head turn, like, that's so much work to, like, have the eyes move in proportion and have that kind of parallax with the nose maybe going a little bit faster than the rest of the eyes and stuff. But in cinema, it's just like, oh, I just turned the head. And there I just did all that. So, I mean, you're saving so much work. And the nice part, the best part, is I'm a fan of the Jiggle Deformer. I'm not going to lie. I'm coming out. I'm a Jiggle Deformer fan.
We got to get you a T-shirt.
Yeah. So, like, Mike the Monkey, the Ben Deformer, I was like, I'm the Jiggle Deformer guy. But just, like, all the tools that you have available for you, even the Ben Deformer, like, what the Ben Deformer can do, the Squash and Stretch Deformer, like, you would have to, like, manually do Puppet Tool in After Effects. And, like, holy crap, like, that would take forever, too. So it's just, like, different strokes for different folks, but, like, I'm Cinema 4D guy. I know what's available. I know how to do things in there. So that's just, you know, how I've been exploring it and having a lot of fun with the Sketch and Toon style.
So what got you into all this stuff? We met, when was that? In D.C.?
In D.C., man. Probably we in 2004 or 2005 that sounds about right. or something.
No.
Maybe 2007.
It was the Motion Graphics, Chicago Motion Graphics, kind of meetup that turned into a national thing for a while.
Yeah.
And I came out to DC, did a class.
After Effects.
An After Effects class, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I don't think you did even
and
did
I was
cinema.
Just starting to do cinema stuff online. So yeah, it must have been 07.
Yeah.
So what got you into all this stuff, like, from there to now in Cinema 4D? What was your transition into motion graphics and kind of what brought you into all this?
Okay. Well, I kind of cheated because my dad is an art director, actually. And so is my uncle.
Are
so,
you forced? Do we need to have a talk? Do you want to go? Do you want to?
I have
a
daddy issues
job?
No. So, I mean, I've just always been around it. My great grandmother was a really good painter. So, like, my one side of my family is just very creative. Always had, like, this artistic side to it. And my dad was a graphic designer when they used to, like, actually cut things out and move things and actually take a picture of a design composition and Quantel paint boxes. I don't know if anyone out there remember those those giant, massive, like, Wacom tablet things. He used to work in Manhattan for ABC, and I was, like, 1 or 2 years old at the time. So he'd bring me to work, and I'd, like, sit up on the little paint box, and I'd get the little tablet pen, and I'd just start, like, drawing. And I feel like that kind of turned me on to really having fun drawing, and I would draw all the time. And it came down to, you know, I knew I loved drawing. I knew I loved art. I'm in high school. I'm doodling on desks. I'm pissing teachers off because I'm, like, drawing little characters on the desk. And, you know, it's time to go to college, and you're like, all right, well, I can't, like, I'm not a good enough illustrator. and even the market for like making money off of illustrations is like, so like, what am I gonna do with that? Make a comic strip? Like, right. And what's the odds that I even make any money off that? And it just came to the fact that there's this motion graphics field where I feel like when did motion graphics first start becoming more mainstream? Probably around the like 2000, like even like the late 90s, maybe.
I think it's the computer era in general kind of will trace that path. It's the ability for, in my take on it, is the ability for people to have access to a computer that could pull that stuff off.
Right.
Was really the factor of it, and the software was getting cheaper. Right. Things like After Effects and the ability that you didn't need a flame, you didn't need a paint box, you didn't need all this stuff to make motion graphics.
Right. I think
that's when it really became the something that anybody could get into.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's right around late 90s, early 2000s, when Better Macs came out, all that stuff. That'd be kind of my guess is. I mean, that's when I figured it out. That's when I saw it too. Early 2000, late 90s, early 2000s.
Because I've seen guys that would actually animate on these paint boxes.
No way.
And they would have to, I don't even know how they did it. But I mean, so it used to be you needed this, I don't even know how much the paint boxes cost back then, maybe like tens of thousands of dollars. So it was, you're exactly right. Like, it wasn't accessible for the masses until. You would get the little, your Macs, and then you would get After Effects started hitting the scene. And I remember, like, for the longest time, people would totally turn their nose up at people who used After Effects because they're like, oh, how much does After Effects cost? A couple thousand dollars. This, my equipment that I'm working on is 50 grand, blah, blah, blah. So it was always this, like, the old vets in the industry, like, what are you doing with your little toys over there, your little After Effects toys?
Fun.
Yeah. When I went into college, I don't even know if there was many colleges in the U.S. that even had motion design or anything like that. So, you know, my dad's like, listen, you just go to college, take a fine arts major, just learn design, because you can learn software whenever. Like, the hardest part is design. And that's never going to change, but software's always changing, you know. And that's the easy part, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, I went to college and decided, like, all right, well, my dad's doing, like, he's in the industry already, so he kind of gave me that insight. It was like, well, you know, this is what's picking up. Like, everyone's wanting motion graphics, and they want it fast, and the tools are becoming available to facilitate.
And he that saw kinda, this exactly. from inside the industry.
Exactly.
That's
so
cool.
He kind of guided me into that. And you know, I was wondering, like, what do? I want to keep doing art, and my mom's a doctor, so and she showed me like her like medical books, and it's like gory stuff and like cutting things. I was like, I would faint at the sight of blood, so I think I'm gonna be an artist.
I'm
gonna work with dad, not mom. So I went into college, and they didn't have After Effects; they had Photoshop. So I learned Photoshop a little bit. I think my very last year, they got like Strata 3D. Remember Strata 3D? Mm-hmm. So they had that, and I played a little bit around in 3D with that, but it was just so over my head at the time because I didn't even know how to animate at all because, like I said, no After Effects.
Yeah.
So the classes I took was photography, and we're not talking digital photography. We're talking about the ones where you're sniffing the chemicals in the dark room and hanging out until like 2 in the morning, just kind of.
Doing
listening
prints,
to music and doing prints and figuring it out. And I'm glad that digital's a thing now because, God, that photo paper. I don't know how a poor college kid could afford the photo paper.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be into all this stuff if it was film, if it was as analog as that was.
Right,
because
photography
for me was the short turnaround of it. You know,
right, yeah.
The ability to shoot a photo and look at it and go, that sucked or that's good. You lose that with film.
Yeah.
And it's, eventually I liked the process, the slow process of film, but getting started without being able to see what I just shot.
Yeah.
I feel like so many people would get into photography, be like, click, 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 click. And then go like, now what?
I got nothing.
I either got to spend a ton more money
to
like put more film in or to process it and the time and smell the chemicals.
Right. Exactly.
it's a different thing entirely.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in school, you got After Effects.
Didn't have After Effects.
Well, you were learning After Effects, and learned Photoshop.
I learned Photoshop, yeah.
And then what got you what got you first into all this motion stuff after that?
So, like, I feel like a lot of people's success and what people do is just based, not luck and, like, certain circumstances. So, like, mm-hmm. again, my dad is already in this industry. He's an art director. They hired interns every year, every summer. So he hooked me up with an internship. Thanks, Dad. And he, like, I basically just went there, and they had, like, all the After Effects manuals and stuff, because this is before tutorials were a big thing. And if yep. you wanted tutorials, you had to pay a crap ton of money for them. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Lynda.com had motion stuff at all yet either. Probably not.
Yeah, I can't.
But so you like that's how I learned, was reading through these books and kind of going through these, like, Chris and Trish Meyer's books.
Yep.
Love those guys. But just going through those, and they had, like, the project files and the little the CDs you'd put in and kind of follow along. And they also had their senior designer there, Steve Benton. I would just sit right next to him and just kind of watch him work, because he was amazing in After Effects, was doing really amazing stuff. And I would just sit there and just watch him. And just kind of took it all in. So it was like, that's cool. I want to do that. And it was just like, all right, well, how do I learn? Because I learned design. And I feel like design was always one of those weak points, even to this day, where I'm still trying to learn. Like I said, that's the hardest part. Like, the software is so easy. Like, it's there. It's accessible. Like, you either know it or you don't. It's not this subjective thing. Like, design's kind of subjective to different people's tastes and stuff. So it's a little bit harder to pick up on, So that's how I learned is just by doing that. And the animating was the hardest part. Is like, I know how to make something look good on one frame, but then you're doing 30-second spots where you're like, how do I have this composition look interesting, not for just this one still photo, but over 30 seconds. And stuff like that. So that was the hardest part I felt for me personally was, like I said, because I nothing I ever did was time based, and even to this day, like, it's I'm still like that was always my biggest weakness, and that was my shortcoming, and that's even to this day I'm still like I had to go back and like, okay, I need to just stop trying to figure things out as I go along. There's an order to this. There's animation fundamentals, and there's all these basic design principles that when you get so obsessed with just learning the software and all the sexy stuff, you totally gloss over that. And the most important part for me was just being honest with myself about my shortcomings, and like, I can't fill in the gaps with just sexy looking technical stuff and then having no real foundation of why everything looks good. Exactly.
So how did you go about learning animation and starting to apply that stuff?
I don't know. It's just by looking at things and just knowing that, wow, that looks so good. Well, why does that look good? Like all of the little subtle details, like part of being a designer is seeing things that no one else sees and being very meticulous with detail and just, you know, seeing little character animations with just like a little bit of overshoot and stuff like that. And it's just all these little tiny things that make all the difference, that all add up, that make the difference between a really rigid, unbelievable, unorganic animation and just little like overshoot tweaks in your animation curves. Yeah. And one big thing for me was, easy easing. If you're out there and you just use the stock easy ease, stop it. Just like, even just taking your, like, selecting all your keyframes, right clicking, doing the easy ease, go a little further and just tweak the curves just a little bit, push and pull just a little bit, and automatically it'll look way better, because I feel like everyone knows what stock easy ease looks right. Like us, like, everyone sees, like, oh, well, they just put the stock easy ease on that. And that's what our eyes are used to, and it's very unbelievable. Nothing in nature has stock easy ease applied to it, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it automatically
does. It's a computer algorithm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very mechanical.
If you want it to look like a computer, use the computer's defaults.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's stuff like that where if you don't have an eye for that, and if you don't pay attention to details like that, you would never know. Like that's I feel like I'm finally paying attention to that stuff in the past year, maybe, just because of the fact that And one of the things that I've enjoyed most about the 2D style is you take out of the equation lighting. Like, what's some good lighting? What's some good reflection? What's good diffuse? Like, how is the shading on this object? Because it's all flat. So you then remove all the, like, 3D lighting stuff from it, and I know you'd probably hate that.
Sometimes.
And it's fun for you. But, I mean, that for me, allowed me to hone into on, okay, well, what do I have left over if I no longer have to worry about shading and lighting, and I'm just dealing with form and shapes? You have animation, and that's it. Or well, you have the design, you have the composition, you have colors.
And that's fine. It sounds like you removed all the parts of 3D that, not that you're not interested in, but all the things you didn't want to necessarily focus on to really focus on the animation part, which is what you're into.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of the projects I do, I remove all the other stuff.
Right.
In order to just focus on the things that I like lighting and texturing.
Yeah.
So if I have a nice little shiny sphere in the middle of the scene. That's all I need to deal with because I just want the right lighting and the right reflections.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you did the same thing. And we watched some artists last night, a couple days ago, that do their version of it, which is some people just like to sculpt.
Right.
And then be done with that part and go, I did it.
Yeah.
Pass it on to somebody else that does their thing. So
right.
That's interesting. You really took a lot of stuff away to get right down to the core of it.
Right.
To just the animation.
Right. So like I said, I was... You got to be honest with yourself at what are your shortcomings. And for me, my shortcoming was I'm really not a good animator. Because one of the things that's amazing about Cinema 4D and also could be a crutch at times, like anything in software can be a crutch if you allow it to be a crutch. Mm-hmm. And for me, what I was kind of letting happen was have the MoGraph module become a crutch for me because, okay, I want a little overshoot and stuff, delay effector with some spring, and no keyframes involved. Mm-hmm. And I got by doing amazing animations like that, but it's also like, okay, well, why does this look really good with a spring effect? How would I, if I didn't have a spring or a delay effector, how would I go in and actually manually keyframe that stuff? Because there are... Like with 2D character work, you can't really put a delay effector on a character animation. You know, you have to actually go in there and move stuff manually and keyframe things by hand. So that was the thing where it's like, man, I love the spring. I love the jiggle deformer. How would I make this little squash and stretch stuff just by keyframing? So and that was the biggest thing. So it's not that I don't like shiny reflections and stuff like that. It was just like, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
But this is my shortcoming. I need to remove the noise and just kind of focus on, and noise sounds like it's like it that reflections and lighting and stuff is bad. It's just like,
well, it's almost like
I needed to focus.
It's
I needed
like
a
distraction.
Exactly.
It almost sounds like you wanted to turn off Facebook. You know what I mean? It's
right,
like, let's
yeah, yeah.
remove all these distractions because maybe you want to go in and tweak a texture, but you're like, no, I don't get to now.
Yeah.
That's off the table. All I have is animation.
Exactly.
And that's a cool way to learn something new, like remove all the other stuff and go, now I have to learn how to animate.
Right, yeah. Because, I mean, even like I did a feather tutorial, and at the end of it, I'm just like moving a light around for about 3 minutes, and I'm like, all right, I need to stop myself because you just like, you fall into that trap.
You do. So, it always could be a little bit nicer.
Right, exactly. What does it look like if this is a blue hue light or something? Oh, that looks cool too. Let's try red.
Those feathers were great, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
So, okay, so we skipped a step. You're here, you're learning, you figured out you wanted to learn motion graphics.
Yes.
You're looking at, what's his name? You're sitting next to...
Sitting next to my buddy Steve.
Steve.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is what I
cool.
want to do. So you learned After Effects.
Yeah.
And what was the transition from there to the 3D stuff? Was that pretty quick for you?
Well, I mean, it was just the way the industry was going. So, it's really fun for, like, guys our age where, everything went from, like, what's the coolest new thing? 3D type, yo. You know?
Extruded text.
So that was what, and I worked in local news, and that's all you're doing is 3D text flying, and that was like the thing that everyone wanted.
Yep.
That was the new sexy. So it was almost like, this is where the industry's going now. And if you want to be competitive and you want to, you know, keep up to date with everything that's going on, and, you know, then that's your job as a designer as well, is what's the design trend? What do clients want? Because what you're doing is like a product, you know? Like, if you're selling some outdated, crappy, like, moldy oranges or something, like, no one wants to buy that. Like, they want to buy the new shiny stuff, you know? Yep. Like, no one's buying an iPhone 1 unless you're into, like, vintage stuff.
Right.
Like, you want the latest, the greatest, the 6S now, and all that good stuff. But, so the 3D type was really the transition of, like, okay, we need to figure out what app do we want to use, what software do we want to use to do the 3D type. And this was around the same time, and I actually talked to, so Paul Babb, the CEO of Maxon, he actually came to D.C. They had a big Adobe Roadshow, and this was around the same, this was the same exact time where they were announcing the AEC imports. You can export out all your null data and
data.
The layers, the lights, exactly. So that was like, whoa, like that, like for an After Effects guy, knowing nothing about 3D
what got
at all.
Cinema is right. Exactly that.
So like Maxon is so smart that I mean, and that's how they kind of, like, that's why a lot of people use Cinema 4D for graphics, because they made it so accessible for people using After Effects.
That already knew After Effects.
And this was when, I think when was the MoGraph module in there? What, 10.5 or something like that?
MoGraph was, 12.5 was Dynamics. Yeah, it was right around 10.
It was like 10.5 with the big MoGraph updates. And they're just like, I remember Paul's demo was, here's a building made out of all these different elements, and we're going to animate this on by creating two keyframes and making a plane effector just go up. And you're like, whoa.
Done.
Because that was, I mean, that was amazing. Like, you take that stuff for granted now, because you're like, oh, yeah, that's easy
plane
stuff.
Plane effector.
Plane effectors, yeah. But before that, how did you do things? Like, you would scale things up. You couldn't clone things. Like, you actually had to make individual things. Like,
People has a piece that's still on his site from a while back, actually, that's a bunch of houses falling and building up a bigger house, and that house falls and
it rotates
around. I forget the name of it. Sorry.
Isometric view kind of thing.
And you spin around, and remember asking him, like, oh, that's really cool, how'd you set up all the MoGraph and all that stuff? He's like, I did it by hand.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, that was no MoGraph.
Did you see
that's
his file?
The way to do it. Oh my god, you can
he's
download
got, like,
it.
Thousands,
it's just layers and layers.
Thousands of objects.
And now you have a cloner object and a plane effector. You can get a lot of that functionality right away. That's,
yeah,
it's amazing. And a jiggle deformer.
And a jiggle deformer. And the bend deformer.
But okay, yeah. What's your favorite deformer? Go straight out.
Scott, I mean, my boy Jiggle Deformer. My boy Blue. My boy Blue.
Alright.
Jiggle Deformer is just like I don't know. I've been exploring the squash and stretch one lately too. Just because I've been doing a lot of 2D character work, and just to be able to kind of screw around with getting little squash movements and like anticipation kind of stuff. But yeah, Jiggle Deformer, man. Just making something. And there's so many uses for it too. Like, things that you apply a wind object, and now you have like cloth type stuff with the Jiggle Deformer. So it's just like,
it's one of those menus I forget about sometimes, and then I open it, I'm like, there's so much stuff in here.
Oh yeah.
I gotta do it. Just maybe that'll be the next 5-second project.
What's your favorite?
Jiggle Deformer. Man, I think the Bend Deformer is so cool.
Bend.
You can just do
it. It's the unheralded.
So much stuff with it. I mean, so now that Spline Wrap's in there, that's a good one.
That's a good one, too.
The Collision.
Collision
is good.
Deformer, yes.
Recently, Chris showed me using a cage for soft body dynamics instead of the actual geometry.
What is that? Is that the Mesh Deform?
Mesh Deform? Yeah.
Is that where you can use the cage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. So that one was fun. Learned how to model a little bit with that one.
Yeah.
But there's just so much stuff. I mean, I think in general, that's what's nice about Cinema is there's half the program you've never used.
Well, like the feather object that I learned was put in an R7. And
R7?
Everyone's, I had guys coming up to me last night. It was like, that's so cool. The feather object's really awesome. They didn't announce that for, like, they didn't make that known that they added that in R17. I'm like, hey, it's been there for 10 releases, dude.
I'm pretty sure they could just wrap up five or six things from their past that didn't really take off.
And no one would know.
And they go, here's R17.5.
Brand new feather object.
Feather object. Yeah. There's so many things like that come out, like the gears and all those things that came out. They're like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
It just wasn't like a huge name or anything.
Yeah.
Not like MoGraph, you know.
Yeah. That's the most fun, is because there is so much there that, like, Sketch and Toon's been around for God knows how long, and I, like, dig into it, and I'm like, wow, this stuff is awesome. And everyone's like, I've never used that before. I didn't even know that existed, and that I could actually do that. And I'm like, yeah, it's been around for a while. So it's like Squash and Stretch I'm playing around with, too. It's stuff that's been around for ages and ages, but I'm just discovering it now, so it's new to me.
New stuff.
And it's all about what's going to help you in your workflow. It's not about, like, oh, well, does it got to be the newest, sexiest thing? It's like, no. Like, I don't sculpt very much. But that's a really cool feature. I want to get into that. But it's not always the new stuff that will be the most helpful for you. So it's always helpful to be like, oh, what's that? Like the feather object thing. I'm like, I've never seen that before. What's that do? It's like, oh, wow. That's really awesome.
I mean, I've been so busy this week. I haven't watched it. I got to watch your tutorial and see. I didn't know that was that.
I don't watch my own stuff.
The secret is I watch my own stuff all the time because I forget it.
Oh, I do the same exact thing.
I constantly forget. Like, how did I do that one step, and I'll figure out where it is. I'm like, oh yeah, you gotta hit this first, and then, you know, there's always that one button you forget.
Yeah.
You're like, I gotta watch my own tutorial. I'm an idiot.
Or I go back and I'm like, how did I figure that out? Like, I was smart 2 years ago.
Remember when I was smart?
Like, I wouldn't figure that out today.
All right, we should wrap up. Yes. What is for Sketch and Toon, people that want to get into this, because I know you've been into it. What was the hurdle for you? Because I feel like it can be intimidating. It can be a little finicky sometimes.
Right.
What's that one thing that you learned in Sketch and Toon where you're like, oh, I wish I knew that when I started? Is there something for people that are other than watching all your tutorials, which have been amazing, what's that thing that you could say when working with Sketch and Toon? Think about it.
I think so there's two parts of Sketch and Toon. There's one if you want the cell shading. And there's one if you want outlines. So, like, the line art stuff, that design style is very popular. So if you want to get into the line art style, the barrier for entry is that first line type menu where you have all these different line types. And you're like, what is it? Because there's, like, maybe 20 options.
Where there's, like, charkel, pencil.
No, not even that. It's, like outlines and intersections and folds and creases and da-da-da-da. But I mean, there's so much cool stuff. And actually, I wrapped up last month a whole Sketch and Toon, intro to Sketch and Toon course for lynda.com. So that should hopefully be coming out soon. But the main barrier for entry for the line stuff was just like really just taking like maybe an hour and just like, I'm going to figure out what each of these things do. And then you have the help file too as well if you don't quite understand what that's doing. Like, I know that's doing that, but why is that doing, like, what exactly is that doing?
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the, like, the cell shading with the cell shader, like, that was also another thing where I'm just like, yeah, this looks really confusing, but, like, really, it took me half an hour to just kind of like, oh, these are gradient knots, and that's the diffuse, and here's the shadow, and by, you know, adjusting the notch, that's like the threshold of where the shading's kind of being applied on your 3D object.
Got it.
And then, you know, the other fun is that, okay, well, now I can actually use 3D lights to actually have that diffuse light being cast on all my objects. And it's like, well, I know lighting.
And you use specular too as a
and lights specular as well,
in your stuff. I saw like the ruby spin and little things like that. I was actually looking at some of your files at Seagraph.
Yeah.
You had your rigs. Your 2D rigs there.
Yeah, so a lot of it was like, oh, those specular, the little, little specular, like linear specular highlights. Like, that's just alpha with a gradient with two little, like, just hard knots, and that was it. That's it. So it's this thing where it's not hard. It's just getting past the fact that, yeah, it looks overwhelming at first, but really, once you understand what's going on, like, I picked it up in, like, 30 minutes.
That's awesome.
Just kind of testing stuff out. And it's
needed it. Sketch and Tune's always been one of those things where, like, I want that look. How do you do it? And my answer for a long time was, I don't know. And I don't know where to
I don't know
where to send you either.
And like, even if you want to do stuff like that for a client, you're like, well, does this really, do I have enough time to,
does it work?
Like, it's, does it work? Like, I don't know if I want to really get into that, but yeah, so that I've made it accessible for a lot of people just because I took the time to like go through and like, oh, it's not bad, guys. It's like, come on. It's like the water's fine.
Water's fine. Look, I made it. I'm alive.
Exactly.
Well, thanks for jumping in.
Yeah, thanks
first.
So much.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by today too, EJ.
Yeah,
we got to get you out here more often.
Heck yeah. I'd love to.
Sound good?
Love to stop by, play some pinball. Teach me some pinball.
That's right. All right, let's go.
Let's do it.
Thanks again for having me.
All right, buddy.
See you,
good
buddy.
To see you.
Thanks, man.